sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver.
Hello and welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is Amber Kleinman sitting in for Jill Spears tonight with our regular worms. Lance and Lulu are here with me on this call-in garden show. Let me give you the numbers. If you have any questions about your garden, give us a call. It is 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good to see you, Amber.
Good to see you. You're shaking it up this time.
Yeah, we're mixing it up. It's awesome.
I feel like I didn't bring enough books. You guys all have books. Yeah. And I don't have a book.
Well, that you don't have to.
Yeah.
We got your back.
All right. Yeah. You are the knowledgeable ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So, what's going on?
Yeah. We should just start with, boy, that was a hot day. That
was
like
very hot.
The hottest day of the year so far.
Yeah. I think it's game on.
Yeah. Full blast ahead is what I wrote down.
Full blast ahead.
Long days and hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's go time.
It's go time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything's blooming. Everyone sneezing who's allergic to things.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like it's full on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely happening out there. It's time to, don't start paying attention to your watering. We were talking about that a little before we got going.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have to cover that one because that's always that's the big one this year.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to say this is a community conversation. So it's not, you don't necessarily have to have a question. If you have something
comments.
To add,
you
have comments,
yeah, something to add,
you know, bring it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you
we're
want,
open.
Yep, we're good with it. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we mentioned water and
let's just start there.
Yeah, last week I was working in some yards that had mulch down. We all talk about mulching to save water.
To save water, usually, and
weed control.
Yes.
If it's thick enough, it'll definitely slow most of the weeds down. Well, this particular one, because it'd been on all last fall.
The mulch.
It was a dry fall, and we've had some rains, but the thing that mulch does is it absorbs all the moisture.
Yeah.
So underneath that mulch, it was bone dry.
Yes.
So I told the owners, I said, you need to water these plants right now.
Right.
You know, otherwise you're not going to get, they were peonies and they weren't going to bloom. They look beautiful, but that peonies can grow for a while, but then the buds just dry up.
Right.
My peonies is doing
mulch.
It. Yeah. It's just breaking out.
Me too. I just saw it tonight. It's like just a little color.
Uh-huh. That early red.
Yeah, the early red.
It hasn't opened, but it's like a couple days away maybe. Yeah.
I'm having a big time transplanting things. And you know, I know it's going to cool down again a little bit, but it's a bit dicey.
Yeah.
You know, it got for a while that you couldn't do it because it was too wet or it was too cold and everything wasn't up. And now all of a sudden it's too hot.
So transplant, but water it in. Good.
Yeah,
keep
water
an eye
it
on
in
them.
Really good.
Because
yeah.
The roots aren't there.
Yeah.
You got your willow bark stuff?
Willow bark tea.
Yeah.
Yep. And the willows are just starting to bloom. So that's just coming, so you can't have a pre-prepared tea of willow bark. You're going to have to just get with it right now.
So can you still use the willow even if it's flowering, or is it too late to use it
for
a tea?
Oh, no, it's good. I always feel like you want to have the sap running in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want them to, you know.
You don't want them dormant.
You don't want them dormant.
Okay, so it's good to go now on the willows.
Yeah, go.
Cut them back.
Yeah, go.
Soak them in tea.
Soak them in water.
What's your recipe?
Oh, just throw them in a bucket of water.
Bucket of water.
And let them soak. Or whatever you're trying to root, put some willow stems in with them and with it and just
and
it let
it go. And
it
promotes rooting.
Root growth, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it stimulates
I've done that with grapevines.
Oh, with grapevines, using willow on grapevines.
Yeah, I soak willows in the bucket of water, and then a day or two later, when I'll put the grapevines
in that
water and soak them in there, then I'll put them in pots of sand or whatever. That's what I do. And if you're going to do that, you want two buds of grapevines below the ground and two buds above. The two below will make roots, and the two above will make leaf.
Okay. So if you can take any cutting like of a grapevine, and as long as you have two buds on that, you can root that.
Two buds. But generally, you want two buds below the ground. So you want four.
Four buds total on your piece.
On your piece.
Okay.
And about pencil thickness. You don't want smaller. Pencil thickness.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? See, that's good to know because I've tried. But my project this year is going to be trying to root an ancient rose that has died out on the ranch at in Carbondale. And it's an original yellow rose of Texas. It's out.
Wow.
It's this massive growth, and it's just past it. It's done. And it's where the original sod house on the ranch and the original little cabin were on the ranch is this beautiful yellow rose, and it just I hope I can do it.
Yeah, so this is try that one, and then also in the fall, take it and take cuttings and put the buds. This is what the old timers used to do out here, and they actually put root tone or your willow thing on there, and they put a mason jar over it for the winter. Put it right in the ground where you want it.
Okay, so you
I've heard of that.
You take a piece of rose
branch. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be any certain kind of branch.
No, just one of the branches.
Okay.
Stick it
alive.
Alive.
In the fall.
In the fall. You do it in the fall.
Okay.
And it's probably going to have a bud or two underground and a bud or two above ground. Same thing as the grapes. And they did root tone or the willow thing or something like that.
So treat the bottom half.
And then they actually put a mason jar over it so it wouldn't dry out.
Oh.
The top part. They actually put a mason jar over it.
I see.
You know, any type of jar, any type of glass jar will work. And that's how they got their roses.
Oh, fascinating. Huh. That makes sense. Keep it kind of moist and warm.
Back then, the plants were very expensive. And to get them here.
Yeah. A lot of travel.
A lot of travel. Well, so that's what they did.
Oh, okay. And that's what you're going to do, Lulu?
Yeah, I'm going to do that, but what I'm going to do is this spring, after if I can get them before they bloom, I think that would be better. And I'm going to just try and root them, soak them in the willow bark.
You can do it that way.
Go from there and see what happens.
Sure.
But it's a project that I've been meaning to do for a while. And when I was there this weekend for the dog trials, I thought, you know, that I because they're dying out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going. It's leaving.
Restart.
It's got to go.
Yeah. Got to grab all
Yeah,
can.
It's probably been
we'll
there
try
for
it both
over
ways and
years.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good. We'll have to check in later
and see how that went. To be continued.
Yeah.
We love that.
Okay. Well, what else is going on?
Oh, lots of stuff.
Let's see.
Oh, we had a comment from the peanut gallery. I've heard you can stick a rose branch into an apple and bury the apple. Ooh, you never
Well, roses are apples.
Yeah, the same
they
family.
Are?
They're the same family.
Oh, wow. I'm just learning all sorts of things.
So that makes perfect sense.
So you stick it
sense.
In an apple and bury the apple, and then it kind of like fertilizes it or gives it nourishment.
Yeah, apple nourishes it just like.
Brilliant. And that's all free.
Yeah,
nourishes.
Isn't that cool?
I love
that's
that.
So cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing that too.
Yeah, do that too. Apples.
We got three projects going now.
Yippee. Okay. One with willow, one with something else, and then an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We'll follow up on that.
I'm going to write it down so I don't forget.
Okay. Yeah, do that.
Write it down.
Okay, here I go.
What else on your list there, Lance?
I got all sorts of stuff. But one is I have my rye for grain.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
And it's 4 feet tall and heading up.
So
it's a month early.
So heading up means it's formed?
It's
the
grain
seeds
heads.
Are formed and
well,
it's drying out?
No, it's not drying out. The seeds are just forming.
Okay.
They actually, if you look, they haven't quite bloomed yet. That pollen thing they're still going. So they'll get another 6 inches tall.
Wow. And I didn't realize rye was that tall.
Rye can get really tall.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and then it's beautiful.
Yeah, it can get 6 feet tall.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa, 6 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm blown away.
On good soil. But you don't want it to get that tall.
That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
No. What it does
like
is it falls over. It's called lodging.
Yeah.
And then it's a real hassle to harvest.
Oh, so you're harvesting that? This is not like a ground cover. You're harvesting this.
This will be for bread.
For bread. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I've been growing 1 year, 15, 20 years ago, I got the cover crop went got ahead of me, the rye cover. Oh, let's just let this go to grain. So I've been growing the same grain for 15 or 20 years in my garden.
Okay, and you just save a bit every year. And
I save a quart of it every time I grow it out.
Just a quart.
That's, you know, that's probably 500 seeds or so.
Oh, okay.
It's way more for, you know, I'm not growing huge patches.
Right. You know. But enough for bread.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, so the rye is a month early. Not surprising.
No.
Yeah. No. I've noticed some other things early. Cactus blooming early.
Cactus blooming early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else is. I noticed that the voluntary marigolds and tomatoes are up.
Right.
And that means the soil's warm enough.
Morning glories too.
Yeah.
Morning glories coming up.
Soil, so that it's warm enough that it's probably not going to frost. I'm still not going to plant tomatoes or peppers or that's for another 2 weeks or so.
Okay. I'm not either. But I always feel like Mother's Day is safe to put out your flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel too. Yeah. So I moved my two giant geraniums outside.
Yeah.
And then if you do that, if you're moving, for instance, geraniums, which a lot of people keep indoors in the winter and then move out at this time, make sure you cover them.
Or put them in the shade.
You gotta
get fried.
They get fried. Yeah. They just get the worst sunburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not good for them.
Yeah, I put all my house plants out all summer, but you put them under something for a good while.
Yeah, let them get used to
it.
They
love being outside, but
boy, do they ever! Yeah, howdy. Yeah. Oh, that one geranium is spectacular. Oh my God, love it. Okay, so this apple in the cutting thing—do you do that in the spring or in the fall? Did it say?
The peanut gallery gave us that.
Jeff
gave us that.
Jeff, we need a little more information.
I think he's on it.
Yeah. Yes,
oh no,
I'm
he's
sure.
answering the phone. So
oh,
okay,
cool.
We may
right,
or may not
somebody's
find out.
Somebody's gonna. Yeah.
It sounds
it up
like
for
you
us.
Stick it into an apple and bury the apple. So I would just bore a hole in that apple and you just stick that.
Well,
right
then,
in there.
Yeah, sure. And if you're just going with the flow, you would do it in the fall because
there
that's
you
when
have
your apples.
Apples
come.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Unless it's little mama who throws her apples down at the end of July.
Whenever she darn well pleases.
Is that not the truth? Yeah. And half of her is alive and well. It's amazing.
Okay. We have a call.
See?
We have Trish calling in from Delta with a question. Hello, Trish.
Hello.
Hello.
So I am calling about grasshoppers. So it's my fourth season gardening in Delta County. And every year I listen to you, and I always forget. And so I'm thinking I should call in this year ahead of time and figure out what I need to do to not have grasshoppers take over everything.
They're flipping through their notes.
Yeah,
where's
recipe? Where's our famous grasshopper
recipe?
I saw that at home.
Yeah. You know, okay. Oh, man, it's sad. You should see.
It's neem and some... Dr. Bronner's open.
We'll get it to you for sure next week. We'll find it.
Okay. they're looking through the notes. But
do you have the – are they there already?
The
no, grasshoppers?
No, but I know that they're going to come. I mean,
they
come every year. And what do I need to do throughout the season to prevent everything being overtaken by grasshoppers?
Yeah, that's good.
Get some turkeys.
Yeah, turkeys, guinea hens.
We tried turkeys and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I use grasshopper spore, and you got to be very diligent about keeping
that's
it.
That's Nolo bait, right? Or
Nolo
the,
bait.
The bran. It's like a bacteria that they
it's
put on
bran
and kind of you kind of toss it out there, and you have to keep doing it because every time it rains, it kind of is null and void after that. So
yeah,
you have to be on top of
it. I actually put it in feeder. I cut the bottom out of a plastic cup and put it in there.
I put gallon pots out with it in there on their side.
On their sides.
Yeah.
And that will keep
kinda
them
shade
the
it.
Wind blowing and the rain from getting it.
Yeah.
So that's I would start with that. And if they're really small, it kills them. If they're medium size, they can't reproduce.
And it turns them carnivorous.
Or
they start eating each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
cannibals.
So great.
I love it.
And then if they're real big, it goes into the next generation.
Right.
You know, praying mantis are one of their worst enemies as well.
That's true.
Can you get Do you guys know? Can you get praying
sometimes
mantis?
Yeah, you can get them.
You can order them. Yeah.
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 So I have a question. So I have about an acre and things throughout the acre. So do I put it on the perimeter? Do I put it throughout? Like, where do I put the
okay.
Where do I put it?
The grasshopper spore or nolo bait has an attractant. So if you put it in the middle of the garden, the grasshoppers are going to come.
Ah, true.
So I put it around the perimeter of my garden.
I think
garden.
That's what they say in the nolo bait is you do a perimeter of it. And so as they move in, they'll hit it and eat it before they get to your garden.
And if it's a really bad year, just it's better to buy it in a 25-pound bag. It's half the price of just buying it off the shelf.
True.
Okay. And you may have said this. When do I start putting it out?
When you see the grasshopper.
When you see those little rascals.
I would say now. I just saw the first like little tiny half a centimeter grasshopper in my yard. So
I've seen a few now. And that was before the cold. So I think they got knocked down because I haven't seen them since. But they'll show up.
They'll be here. Yeah.
Okay.
And
we'll... Oh, I was just going to say, have Lulu's still looking for the,
still looking.
The grasshopper
spray
thing.
It's so embarrassing. I've got 4 years or whatever of notes. And
it's in there somewhere.
It's a mess.
And I saw it with where I have my stuff to make it. It's molasses and neem and azomat with some Dr. Bronner's mixed in with a gallon of water.
Yeah.
But I don't know the proportions.
Yeah. And, you know, molasses, they say, as a real thick molasses actually will kill them by themselves.
By themselves.
So will the Azomax, I believe, by themselves. But all mixed together, it's like the cocktail of death.
And you have to spray it at night.
Spray it at night?
Because it will go after bees or other insects.
Okay.
And that's when the grasshoppers are cooling down. They're sitting
they're
in the grass.
Still.
Yeah, you can actually spray them.
Yeah. And isn't it true that they like it where it's dry?
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep a wet area where your garden is, that's not their instinct to be in a wet area. They're going to be in the dry perimeter of your space, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is going to have to be continued.
Okay, so next week we're going to have we have another call on the line to add to our hopper discussion.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So do you have any other questions, Trish, or should we?
Nope, that's great. Thank you.
All right,
we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you for calling. All right.
You guys hear the papers turning?
I can hear the papers turning.
It's pitiful.
Okay, so we have Jer on the line to add to our hopper discussion. Hi, Jer.
Oh, cool. Hi, Jer.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Great.
What you got?
The grasshopper bait that you're talking about is a brand that's infected with a bacteria called Nosema locustae.
Yeah.
And what it is it's a bacteria that affects only grasshoppers, crickets, and locusts. And they eat it. And ideally, you want to catch them in the first to third instar, is what it's called.
Right.
Grasshoppers go through 5 molting periods, which are called instars. And you want to catch the grasshopper in their first to third instar for that to be really effective.
Yeah. For it to just kill them outright, do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. But then they can remain infected, like Lance was saying, and their eggs can be infected, and it can carry on down the line. Now, nolo bait is just a brand name, and we carry a different brand name called Semaspore up at Earth Friendly. But it's all this bacteria called Nosema locustae.
Yeah.
And
Nosema locustae. So, I love it.
And it's something that you use for, like, several seasons.
Right.
And you knock them back, and you start to degrade their population.
Yeah, you continue to use it
over the years. 3 years in a row I used it.
Me too. For 4
exactly.
years, and I don't have any grasshopper problems after that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to stay on
it
every week.
And this year's going to be bad, though.
Yeah, it is.
People can count on that.
Yeah, because it was a mild winter.
Mm-hmm. And dry now.
Chris, and dry.
Before me had asked how to use it, and what I like to do is I like to either take a weed burner or a mower and put it on the lowest, you know, setting. And I like to cut like a path around the outside of our gardens or the perimeter of our growing spaces. And I either burn it or cut it really short so that it burns up. And then that's where I put the Semaspore down, because then they have nothing to eat as they come through your garden.
Okay.
And they smack them back.
All right.
They get infected.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
I found it.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we better get the recipe.
The other thing I wanted to
go ahead, Jer.
Say is kind of probably what Lou is going for there is we have a product called EchoTech. It's a mix of it's geranium oil, peppermint oil, and another essential oil, rosemary oil. And when I use that as a preventative, the grasshoppers tend to just stay away from my stuff. So.
Oh, okay. So you dilute that and spray that on your whole garden or perimeter
Right. Yeah,
okay.
We spray it on our plants. We dilute it and spray it on our plants. Oh. And then the grasshoppers tend to just stay off of them in general.
That sounds like it smells nice, too.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's called,
called
what again?
On the grasshoppers. That's called EchoTech. We sell it up at the friendly supply. But that's a pretty effective measure, actually.
Okay, two good effective measures, and we have this recipe.
And we have the recipe.
Okay.
So you get a 1 gallon sprayer, you put in 1 cup of molasses, 1 tablespoon of neem, 2 tablespoons of Azomax.
Yep.
1 tablespoon of liquid Dr. Bronner soap, and you use it when the bees aren't flying.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. Azomax would be detrimental to the bees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In a gallon, so that's a good amount.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Okay, there we have it.
Ta-da.
Great. Right. Well, thanks for your input, Jer.
Yeah, thanks, Jer. Well, that's awesome.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody's on it, because we all need to do it.
Yes.
To
kill those populations.
Exactly.
Grasshoppers must die.
We got to fight them back together. All right. Sounds good.
All for one and one
go
for
team.
All. We're in on it.
That's right.
Let's go. Right. You'll get them.
Thanks,
guys. Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Jer.
Jer.
Okay. We have another call. We got Larry in Paonia has a comment as well. Hello, Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. So the nullo bait is actually Nosema locustae, which is a protozoan.
Oh, it's a protozoan.
Not a bacteria.
Not a bacteria. Okay. Oh, well, good, good.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's closely related to the Nosema, which is also a disease of honeybee.
Yeah, that's a winter time. It's like diarrhea for honeybees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But it's a different species. Locustae only does grasshoppers and locusts,
right.
And the other Nosema only does honeybees.
Interesting.
But so the other thing is my experience with nullo bait. So I did these bait stations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As they tell you to do, the instructions that come with the nullo bait. Unfortunately, you know, the base of it is a bran.
Wheat bran, yeah.
Wheat bran or something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And rodents love to eat the bran. And so I put out my bait stations
and the
one
mice
evening,
ate
and
it.
By the next morning, it's completely cleared out, and I know that rodents have eaten it.
Okay, good point. Okay.
Just see, if it's not one thing, it's another.
I tell you.
I mean, when you consider how expensive it is.
True. You don't want to feed.
Bait, you don't want to be feeding rodents.
You don't want to ever feed the rodents. Yeah, okay. Good point. So somehow you have to protect it from rodents if you have lots of those around.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, bummer.
Good point, Larry.
Oh, well, there you have
it's
it.
It's another factor.
That went for losing sometimes.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you for your clarification.
Thanks.
Never
right,
give up.
Thanks.
Never give up.
That's right.
Thank you for your call, Larry.
Thank you so much. Wow, this is cool. We're really getting a bunch of really cool information.
We are. It's flying by. I can't believe we only have like 5 minutes left. Okay.
Really? Look at the clock.
It's actually, I don't know what time it is.
We have no idea what time it is. Oh, wait, we do. Here it is on the phone. 6:56. We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So, what is the most?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. What's the most important things you have on your list?
Where'd my list go to?
Cover in the next 5 minutes.
let's see.
Cut your rhubarb flowers. I noticed my rhubarb is just totally going to flower, so I'm trying to keep up with all those blooms. Cut them back.
Right.
Otherwise, it'll
mine don't bloom.
Really?
I have this variety, and maybe once every 3 or 4 years, I cut it off once, and I never see them again.
Wow. Okay, that's not my experience.
Yeah.
Oh, we got another call. All right. Good. Okay, good. Hey, we have Monk on the phone. Hi, Monk.
Oh, hi, Monk.
How are you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, good. Great.
Good.
So what can I do? Is there a way of being eco-friendly and getting rid of wasps? Or is it just move?
No,
leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Yeah, because they do good things.
They're the best. They're the best predators you can want
for aphids, right?
Aphids.
But we do have to clarify here. What kind of Monk? Do you have the ones that are on the little flat nests that are everywhere, or the ones that are the big round nests in the trees, or are they underground?
Right.
Probably some underground and some inside the cracks of the logs over here at the house. And you know, they never bite you because you're not messing with the queen, but they're always flying around your head and where you're scared to death of them. And personally, they don't bother me that much, but you know, we have a lot of them. Huh. So when you come over here after your show, Lulu, then we can show them all to you.
Yeah, you can find out.
Okay, I'll check it out. I mean, if you've got a lot of them and they're a pain, you can
probably lose a few, but I don't really kill my wasps.
Boy, I leave mine. Unless they're the ones that are in the ground. I had a wasp nest in the ground, and that was deadly.
Yeah, I stepped in one.
Yeah, those puppies are mean.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got
them over in Carbondale at the store one year.
Yeah. Wow. You got to get rid of those somehow, you know, whatever.
Somehow is a good question. The other question would be, is there a good source around here for getting ladybugs and praying mantis?
Don't they have them at Farm and Home Organics?
You know, if they don't have them there, there's
probably Jer probably has them up.
Jer might have some, or you know, I think there's a lab in Grand Junction.
Oh,
and
true.
They also were made in. I think there was a lab in Durango.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Okay. To go get those.
You know, so maybe Google it, Monk, or, you know, see if you can find that way, or ask Jer up at Earth Friendly Supplies.
Yeah.
Call those guys up, or try Farm and Home.
Yeah. There's multiple people
yeah.
that
and
carry
they'll,
them.
They'll
They're
be able,
around.
And they'll, if they can't, they'll be able to order them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Are you coming over to Lulu?
Sure. I'll blast over there. No worries.
Then I'll write all this stuff down.
Okay, cool.
All right, great. I can't believe it. We have another call waiting on hold. All right. So we should take one more call here.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have Jack on the line.
Great.
Hi, Jack.
Yeah, great. I just wanted to add that there's a really non-toxic way to deal with wasps and yellow jackets and such that
great,
involves just bundles of sage, the common sage we have here everywhere. If you waft it right where they're building a nest and you don't want them to be nesting there, you can just give them I do it without protective clothing, because if you go calmly towards them and just give them a really big puff of smoke from the sage bundle, they all totally lose their coordination. They fall out of the sky. They lose their nesting instinct. They get confused and kind of lose the ability to fly. They crawl around and they're just stunned. And they leave the nest in peace. And you can just knock it down and dispose of it or put it wherever you want.
Okay, so you collect a bundle of the natural sage from around here, let it dry out, and then light that bundle and just smoke out that whole hive.
Awesome.
That's how I've done it. And I don't know if there's other things that smudge well, but with the sage, it works terrific.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
You can move those nests. This is a safe way, and you can actually move the nest out of your walkway, your path of activity, and those wasps will find the nest.
So you're talking about the flat gray ones move it if you wanted to.
And you can nail it up or staple it somewhere else. And they'll move to it.
They'll find it. Okay. Oh, good. Well, thank you for that tip. That was fabulous.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Right,
thanks.
Natural
thanks so
and
much.
Available locally.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Jack.
Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. We are.
Okay. Well, I can't believe the whole time's over. we are wrapping it up here on As the Worm Turns. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks for all the calls, for everyone who called
just
in.
Just one little comment. Yeah. I just want to say, don't be afraid. You can still prune.
You can still prune. Oh, which is a good point, because I had some perennials that have died back because it was a dry winter. So yeah. We should prune those back.
Yeah, you can prune back, but I'm still pruning roses. You can still prune grapes. I actually pruned an apple tree yesterday.
Okay.
So if you haven't, and there's some dead branches, some crossing branches, you know, you go
for it.
Go for it. It's not going to hurt.
Not going to hurt.
And then if it's blooming, you got flowers for the house.
Bring them in, put them in water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Vince always used to say the best time to prune is any time you can.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vince.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
All good.
Well, thanks so much for being here. We have up next One Woman's Perspective with Leah right after Hightower Radio Lowdown. Thanks, Worms. We'll see you next week.
Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
With you can make a horse slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.